Tonight, we're told about a man whose life changed the course of human history. The story of his birth was unprecedented, a man born of a virgin after a miraculous divine conception. We're told that choirs of angels sang songs of praise at his birth. His contemporaries called him Savior, Lord, and Son of God. Statues built in his honor proclaimed him as the bringer of peace. That man, of course, was Emperor Caesar Augustus. Augustus ruled over an empire so large that Luke says it may as well have been all the world. And to rule that empire, Augustus came up with a story that he was the son of God, conceived by the god Apollo and his mother, a story that he was the savior of the people, divinely chosen to rule the empire. It was a story that demanded complete and total allegiance from his subjects. To question Augustus was not just to question one man, but to question the entire order of the universe itself. And the story worked. The empire held together. Things ran efficiently. Walk down the corridors of power, talk to the generals, ask the Roman elite, and things had never been better. Historians consider Augustus one of the greatest emperors the Roman Empire ever saw. If you call yourself savior and bringer of peace, it's a little bit cocky, but it's not really bragging if it's true. And what made Augustus so brilliant wasn't just his military success or his political gamesmanship. It was that he understood the power of story. But the story only worked as long as you didn't ask around too much. It only worked as long as you stayed in the halls of power, as long as you didn't talk to the people who were left on the outs. Because Augustus' story had no room for people like Mary and Elizabeth, no use for tradesmen like Joseph, no use for itinerant shepherds, no use for Zechariah and other elderly people. There was no space for you in that story unless you had status, no space unless you had money, no space unless you had power. Tonight, as we gather to celebrate the birth of Christ and draw closer to the end of another year, it's worth asking. Is there a different story? A story besides the story of violence, oppression, and division that Augustus offered and that we still hear echoes of today? Is there a story that can hold us together? Is there a story that has space for all of us? If you think the answer to that question is no, then the good news is most people agree with you. Because the idea of having a common shared story feels out of date, to say the least. Far better to let everyone choose their own story that works for them. You do you, just don't force it on me. But with no higher aspirations in common, so much of our discourse ends up appealing to our most base instincts. And so disgusted from trying to engage with other people, we just give up entirely. Hardly a good outcome for a people called to join God in shaping and supporting life in our communities. If you think the answer to that question is yes, that we should have some kind of common shared story, then you have quite a task ahead of you. Just consider the range of experiences we have in this room tonight. Some of us have been counting down the days until Christmas because it's the only time of the year you can wrangle the family into one room. And for some of us, it was harder to put the lights up this year because it was the first time we've had to do it alone. Is there a story that can hold us together? For some of our high schoolers, you come home every day measuring your prospects in life by the thickness of an envelope in the mailbox. And even though you know you shouldn't take it as a statement of your worth as a person, you probably will. For others of us, this was the first Christmas with a new grandchild that we're going to teach all the family traditions. And for others of us, this is the first Christmas you've had to decide who gets Christmas Eve with the kids. Is there a story that can hold us together? Some of us have been watching the returns on our portfolios double, while others of us are bent over the kitchen counter cutting our pills in half. Is there a story that can hold all of us together? According to St. Luke, there is a story that can hold us all together, the story of Christ's birth. If that seems like an absurd idea to you, how can the story of Christmas hold us together? Then you're exactly right. Because the story of Christmas doesn't seem to have much power left in it. Part of that is because it's become so commercialized, but the bigger problem is that it's become so pedestrian, so predictable. And to borrow that cliche, it's often self-confessed Christians who are the most eager to take the Christ out of Christmas. Not because we don't talk about Jesus, but because the Jesus we talk about is so cleaned up, so wrapped up in a soft glow that the Christmas story doesn't even surprise us anymore. The story we hear is so immaculate that you feel like you can't get within 10 feet of the manger unless you're as perfect as Jesus is. In too many of our retellings, the Christmas story has just become a story like any other. A story with winners and losers, a story with insiders and outsiders. A story that says it's for everyone, but it's really not. But St. Luke has no patience for that kind of storytelling. In St. Luke's Gospel, the Christmas story isn't a story about a baby. It's a story about power. While Augustus is acclaiming himself as the Son of God, St. Luke says that the real Son of God is being born in a town that the emperor has never even heard of. While the newborn Augustus is wrapped in the finest linens that money can buy, Joseph and Mary could only afford to wrap their new son in rags. And while the emperor is born with a silver spoon in his mouth, Joseph and Mary have to resort to putting the Son of God in a cattle trough. And most shocking of all, according to St. Luke, God is born, which most of us take for granted, but was unthinkable to most of Luke's contemporaries. Even Christians, people who knew the Christmas story, said that Jesus must have become God later, sometime in his 20s, because the whole ordeal of being born seemed beneath God. Too messy, too noisy, too painful. And we still see that impulse all around us. Silent Night might be a nice song, but it's the kind of song that could have only been written by a man who never experienced labor pains. No, St. Luke says, God chooses to enter into creation not in the halls of influence, not surrounded by insiders, not with acclamation. God doesn't just choose to become human, but chooses to become human precisely among the people who have been left out of the story. The people that everyone else has forgotten about. That when people create stories with no space for people like Mary or Joseph or Elizabeth or Zechariah, God creates a new story with space for all of us, starting with the very people who have been left out. The ones who were told they had outlived their usefulness, or that they were too young to make a difference, too naive to be of any consequence, too poor to bother with. The ones who've been told there's no room in the inn, but the people behind you in line seem to get a room just fine. It's precisely there that God chooses to be. It's precisely there that God's new creation of mercy, justice, and healing begins to take shape. There's room in that story for everyone. If you are like Elizabeth and joy has unexpectedly come into your life, then there is space for you in that story. If you are like Mary and you are anxious about what the future holds, there is space for you in that story too. If you are like Zechariah and you have given up on seeing your hopes come to fruition, then there is space for you in that story. If you are like those shepherds just trying to make a living, then there is space for you too. And if you are like Joseph and you aren't sure what to think, then there is space for you as well. We have one story, but it's big enough for you, for your hopes and your dreams, your fears and your grief, your confusion and even your ambivalence. It's a story big enough for all of us because at the center of that story is a Savior who comes alongside us. This isn't just a story that God tells about us, but a story that God invites us to live into so that God's word of forgiveness, mercy, and healing might take flesh in us. In our prayer and proclamation, in our service and our witness, in our work for equity and justice, God continues to take on new flesh in our world. In bread and wine, in water and word, the light continues to shine in the darkness. The lowly are lifted up, the proud are scattered, and the hungry are filled with good things. The story goes on. Thanks be to God. Amen.